to be in charge of exterior maintenance, not inside. Timoshenko tilted his head slightly to one side. I don't believe in watertight compartments. Exterior maintenance shouldn't be totally insulated from interior maintenance. I want to see what could get damaged if the outside shell is penetrated. Penetrated? By a meteor, a chunk of ice, a big rock. Or by an explosive break in one of the superconducting lines, Holly added. Timoshenko dipped his chin to her. Very smart woman. Come on, Tavalera said, quickening his pace. It's almost lunchtime. Yes, my stomach is already growling, said Timoshenko. But I think I'll go back to the fancy office that Eberle has given me. I have a lot of calculations to make. Damage assessments? Tavalera asked. Timoshenko nodded grimly. And ways to improve the superconductor's armor.
As she sat in her cubbyhole of an office, Nadia Wonderly watched glumly the old video of Manny Gaeta's flight through Saturn's brightest ring. A lone man in that heavily armored suit, disappearing into the vast swarm of glittering icy particles. Like an Arctic explorer of old, trekking across a glacier and being swallowed up by a blizzard. I bet he'd do it again, she said to herself. He'd do it for me. I could make him feel guilty enough to agree to go out there one more time. But Chris would kill me. She loves Manny, and she's not going to let him risk his butt for me or anyone else. Especially not for me. She knows Manny and I were sleeping together until she came on the scene and took him away from me. Wonderly thought she ought to feel resentment toward Cardenas, but she knew she didn't. Manny was just a fling, she remembered. A lot of fun while it lasted, but I knew it wouldn't last long. What would a dynamo of a hunk like him want with a mousy, overweight geek girl like me? He was just using me to get the information he needed for his stunt through the rings. But she smiled to herself. He used me pretty damned well. And I used him, too. She had to shake her head to drive those memories away and concentrate on her work. The display screen showed a close-up view of Saturn's B ring, a swirl of ice particles braided with interconnected ringlets as far as the camera could see, like an enormous intricate pattern of diamonds wheeling, glittering, dancing before her eyes. It was hypnotic. She could watch them for hours. Clucking annoyedly to herself, she commanded the computer to display the imagery in negative. The glittering jewels changed instantly to various shades of gray, the infinite space beyond them to pale creamy white. Still she watched, fascinated. Spiral density waves weaved through the rings and the scalloped edges of the gaps between them, delicate thread-like open paths that she knew were the wakes of tiny moonlets racing along the edges of ringlets like sheepdogs herding the particles into line. What makes them do that? She asked herself. Look at the way the individual ringlets twist around one another, like the threads of a hooked rug that's made out of jewels. What drives those dynamics? How did they get this way? A fragment of memory from her high school days popped into her mind, a couplet by Robert Frost. We dance round in a ring and suppose, but the secret sits in the middle and knows. So many secrets in those rings, Wonderly thought, as she watched the swirling ice particles. So much to find out, to learn, to understand. If only Manny... And then it hit her. Manny doesn't have to go into the rings. I can do it myself. Wonderly sat up straighter in her chair, her mind churning. His suit's here. I can use it. Manny can show me how. He can run the operation from here. He can be the crew chief, or whatever they call it. I bet Raul Tavalera would help him, too. Chris wouldn't mind if I borrowed the two guys for a while. She got to her feet and looked around her cramped, cluttered cubicle. I can do it, she told herself. Just one quick zoom through the rings to pick up some samples and bring them back here for analysis. In and out. I can do it. The Ice Mountain. Titan Alpha crunched cautiously across the frozen landscape beneath the perpetual gloom of dirty orange-brown clouds. Imagery in the range that its sensor program called visible light was reasonably good, although infrared was better, even though ground temperatures outside Alpha's armored shell were so low that the infrared images were weak and needed boosting. Still, Alpha trundled along in its lowest gear, picking its way around craters whose walls were too steep to crawl into. The master program compared the incoming sensor data against its memory files and decided that such steep-walled craters were young, formed recently by the impacts of meteors. It stored the information for such time as the primary restriction was lifted or superseded. One of the master program's basic commands was to gather data from the sensors, and Alpha was faithfully obeying that fundamental command. Since it had started moving across the landscape and turned off its receiving antennas and tracking beacon, the barrage of incoming commands had ceased, and the conflicts generated by the primary restriction had faded from its memory. Alpha remembered that before it had touched down on Titan's frigid surface, it had orbited the moon, mapping its surface and analyzing its atmosphere remotely. All that data had been uplinked, as commanded. Now, with no fresh commands coming in, Alpha decided to repeat the orbital operation as nearly as it could. It would circumnavigate Titan, traversing completely around this frozen dark world as many times as it could. The master program checked the status of its nuclear power source, then reviewed the energy losses from propulsion and sensor usage, and decided that Alpha could circumnavigate Titan at least 700 times before the power drain became prohibitive and it automatically shut down everything except the sensors. The master program reviewed the incoming data as it was registered by the sensors on a leisurely microsecond time scale. Nothing unusual. The ground was basically water ice, covered with a slushy mixture of frozen methane that contained significant impurities such as ethane, acetylene, and minor amounts of other organic hydrocarbons. Some of the organics were motile. They moved over the surface at rates of a few centimeters per minute. Alpha's thick treads sank through the muddy ground cover and crushed the topmost layers of the underlying methane ice and the complex hydrocarbons beneath its massive bulk. It used the megajoule laser at full power to flash the crushed remains into gas, which the mass spectrometer remotely analyzed. Only the crushed ices were analyzed that way. The untouched ground stretching all around Alpha was analyzed passively, without even the light touch of the laser disturbing it. After more than 100 hours of traversing Titan's surface, Alpha's forward battery of sensors detected a sharp projection rising 3.7 kilometers ahead. The projection was 436 meters high. It was composed of frozen water, bright and glittering, without any dark methane slush covering it. Alpha stopped when it came within half a kilometer of the ice mountain and turned its full panoply of sensors upon it, spending a full trillion nanoseconds scanning the mountain. Frozen water, laced with carbon compounds. Cautiously, Alpha began to circle around the base of the mountain. As it did so, the sensors detected a ring of smooth ground surrounding the base of the mountain for 2.9 kilometers. The smooth area was also frozen water, although it was dusted over with some methane and other hydrocarbon compounds. Alpha's master program consulted the geology program. The ice formation, it decided, was the result of a fairly recent cryovolcanic eruption that had ejected a geyser of liquid water from deep underground through a vent in the surface. The water had quickly frozen in Titan's frigid atmosphere, creating the ice mountain and the ring of smooth ice around.